Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from George Mason University. This is your host, Herb Cohen, and I've got a couple of co-hosts with me, Will Barrington, Justin Lang from Cresta, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Steve Simon, Van Epperin, Andrew Lewis, Lewis Financial Group, John Hillen, George Mason University, Herb Thomas, Whiteford Taylor and Preston, Kathleen Porabaugh, Holmes, Lowry, Horn, Johnson Limited, and Jim Irving, Bean, Kenny, and Corman. Mr. Will Barrington, will you please give me the rundown on who we have on the show with us today, our guests?
You bet, Herb. We're going to be chatting with Pamela Graf, who's president and CEO of Quarterline, and then John Milam, who's CEO of Dynamis, and Mike Sierra, president and owner of the Ventura Group, and finally Bill McCormick, CEO of the McCormick Group.
Let's get to know our first guest, Pam Graf, president and CEO of Quarterline. Pam, what is Quarterline? What do you guys do?
Quarterline is a professional services company in healthcare technology for the government.
How large or how small is this organization?
We're about 200 people.
200 people. And how did you get a job with this company?
I started the company in 2009.
You started the company in 2009. Uh-huh. Where are you from originally?
I grew up in Papillion, Nebraska.
In Nebraska. And how many brothers and sisters?
I have a brother and three sisters.
A brother and three sisters. And where are you in the pecking order?
I was fourth out of five.
Uh-huh. What made you different than all the other kids? Well, how are you different than them?
I was kind of the rebel of the family, I guess.
You were the rebel of the family. And how young were you when you started making money?
I started babysitting, I guess, when I was probably around 12, 13, and I also started working at the local farm.
What kind of farm? What are you talking about?
They grew corn and had horses and cattle.
So how did you start working there? What happened?
I started actually picking weeds in the soybean field, and I also worked on mucking stalls and helping round up cattle, et cetera.
Mucking stalls. What are you talking about? What's a mucking
Removing,
stall?
Removing manure from stalls.
Uh-huh. You volunteered to do that.
I did.
Uh-huh. Why?
I love horses, and I'm an animal lover, and I'm a competitive rider.
Uh-huh. So I hear this thing about competition and wanting to stand out and be different. Is that what's going on there?
I just wanted to succeed, I guess.
Mm-hmm. What's success look like? What do you mean? I mean, you're running this business of 200 people. What's that look? Is it money? What's success?
It's not money. I think it's accomplishment, really. I think it's you know, exceeding your goals.
What are you talking about? What do you mean?
I've always tried to strive to push myself to the limits and professionally and try to grow as much as I can as a person, as a professional.
How'd that show up in your childhood?
I was a pretty ambitious student. I was a straight A student. I guess I got a little bored in school and started, doing other things.
Interesting. John.
Pam, what do you do when you're growing up in safe middle America when you're bored? Where do you go? What do you do with it? What did you do?
I used to go and help other people with their horses and ride other people's horses for them. And, it was safe, but we grew up during the Cold War era. My father worked at the base, and we were all worried that we were going to die before we graduated from high school from the nuclear bomb.
And where did you go to school?
I went to school, college?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I went to Purdue University, and then I went to the University of Strasbourg, France.
Mm-hmm.
I went to graduate school.
Because everybody from Nebraska goes to Strasbourg. Common language, common culture, right?
Yeah.
What prompted that?
I got bored of being in the Midwest, and I decided when I was 19 I wanted to go, and so I went.
Wait. Did you speak French when you decided to go to France?
Remedially, yes.
Wait. So you went to France. Who was behind that? Who paid for that?
My parents paid for school. It was one of the things they gave to us when I was a kid. They gave to all of us, all five of us. I worked very hard for that.
But you didn't speak French when you
I didn't,
there.
And I made sure the tuition was less to go to France than it was to go to Purdue, and went there by myself.
So you're really trying to, like, raise the bar on yourself. How do you get more for less? And it didn't matter that you didn't know how to speak French. You figured you'd take on the challenge.
Correct.
Uh-huh. What's that have to do with building a business?
I think it's about perseverance and about not getting discouraged and sticking with it in good and bad.
Mm-hmm. Who's got the next question here, Kathy?
Do you have to take a lot of risks to run a business?
You do.
So did you do that when you were young?
I guess, yes. I guess moving to France when you're 19 is a risk. Yes, I guess risk is not something I'm uncomfortable with. I can take risks.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any challenges in moving to France you didn't expect to have?
Yeah, I didn't speak the language. I couldn't find where I lived. I couldn't open a bank account. I was lost in school, and I thought I was going to flunk out.
And yeah. How'd you
handle that stuff?
I just kept going, and then eventually it clicks in, and you learn by full immersion. You have no choice.
Mm-hmm. And Justin?
Pam, what made you want to leave small-town middle America for a obviously major metropolitan global city mm-hmm. like Paris, France? Mm-hmm.
I never wanted to stay there. I just never thought it was it was a beautiful place to grow up and safe, but it just wasn't for me.
Mm-hmm. What is for you? What are you talking about?
Just experiencing new things. I've mm-hmm. tried to travel the world and mm-hmm. try to just see how to make the world potentially mm-hmm. a better place.
Who are your role models?
That's tough. I mean, there's not a lot of female role models in our industry. So there was one of my early mentors was a small business owner who struggled and who taught me that there were no limits in business.
How'd you learn that?
He just basically showed me the way and pushed me out of the nest and made me, you know, hold my own and with clients and with
And how young
partners.
Were you? How young were you when this happened?
I was probably in my late 20s.
And what kind of job were you in when that happened?
I was in a consulting practice where, mm-hmm. Our clients were major government contractors.
Uh-huh. And what happened? How'd you get that experience?
It's kind of a kind of crazy story. My mentor, who was the owner of the company, was a very small business, got very sick and was out for 4 months, and I had to take over the company.
Wait. You had to take over the company? You didn't have to take over the company. It sounds like you're moving to France and learning the French language
this
and opening
afterwards.
Up a bank account. But it's all taken on a challenge.
Yeah. I wanted the company to succeed, and we were all committed. And when he came back, and he was a larger-than-life character, no one knew he was gone.
Wait, hold on a second. So he was, how large or small was this company?
It was about 5 people.
About 5 people. So he got sick, and you kept things growing, you kept things building, so that when he came back, he could take it back over?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Were you rewarded for that in some fashion?
Yes. I mean, it was a partnership, and we ended up, you know, doing well in the company. So, yes.
I thought entrepreneurship was all about me, but it sounds to me like you've got some we in here, huh?
You have to. It's very hard. And if you're good at being one thing, you have to have a team around you that's good at all the other things you're not good at. And you tend to learn that the hard way.
How'd you learn that? Where'd that come from in your childhood? What are you talking about?
I've never was a super extroverted person, but I had to learn to be. Because when you grow a business, you're the spokesperson and you're the chief growth officer for your company. So mm-hmm. you have to learn to push your limits and learn new skills.
Well, on one hand, you're telling me you have to push your limits. On the other hand, you're talking about we. Well, give me the balance there. Where's it me and where's it we?
Well, I think you're the one who has to set the tone, right? And you have to set the standard. And then your team, they have to agree with your approach and your goals and have the same standards. Mm-hmm. And then that's when it works. And that's when it's beautiful.
What made you leave that 5-person company to start your own company?
One of my clients, it kind of came to its natural conclusion, and one of my clients hired me, and so I went to work for a big government contractor.
Mm-hmm. Andrew?
What was it like when you started your new company? It was obviously new territory, a new venture. You took
sure.
the risk.
Mm-hmm.
Did your experience going to
yep.
France have any
Good.
Impact on that?
Mm-hmm.
I had to be really scrappy and had to find clients, right, because I had to make a living, and the people that were with me had to help them make a living, so yes.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like when the person who went out sick came back and you had to let go with some of the control of the company?
Oh, it was great.
Was it?
No, it was a very stressful situation, and we were just holding on.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the person kind of larger than
Herb, what do you got?
I keep going back to Nebraska, big empty Nebraska, and you on a farm. Did you become a really good listener out there?
No. that's a skill I tend to try to work on. And it wasn't, it was a military community, and it was a suburb of Omaha. So it wasn't big and empty, and I didn't grow up on a farm. I worked near a farm. I just liked that. I liked that life. I liked the
It
work.
Sounds pretty conformist, pretty traditional.
Yeah.
Where did you lose your fear along the way?
That's a really good question. I don't know.
Horseback riding?
Yeah, maybe. And maybe just trying to, you know, learn new things and gather new experiences. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, everyone's afraid. It's just a question of how you deal with
Steven?
It.
Steven?
Pam, what's it like as a woman CEO?
Come up closer to that microphone, please.
As a woman CEO, Pam, what's it like there?
Especially in D.C. in the government industry, I think it's tough. There's been a dearth of female role models, and I think that being one is a hugely important thing.
Pam, are you single, or do you have any kids?
I don't have any kids, but I am married.
Uh huh. What did you learn about being married that you bring to business every day?
I don't know if I'm a good. I guess the idea of compromise and communication and kind of holding together and doing good and bad, things aren't always going to work out the way you planned.
Huh. So it's about the we again. It's about the team. Uh-huh. Well, what are you thinking there?
Pam, you love horses, and you said that all the way through. You started out on one end of horses, and now you ride them. How do horses compare to running a business? What do you learn about horses and running a business?
An incredible amount of patience, discipline, perseverance, and dedication. It's a very difficult and very time-consuming sport.
Mm-hmm. Pam, if we were doing a good interview, what question would you be asking you that we didn't ask you so far?
How do you build your team and how do you set goals and those kinds of things?
Yeah, how do you build your team and how do you set goals?
I think finding good people is one of the hardest things you have to do as a business owner, and you have to make mistakes and you have to trust your gut. I think you have to trust when a person walks in the room and you have a bad feeling about them, not to really move on, and then to move on quickly if things don't work out, and not hold on to the bitter end with an employee that's not going to work out.
I thought business was all blood and guts and numbers, but you're telling me it's about instinct and intuition?
It's absolutely about that.
Huh, how interesting. What's the website address of your organization?
Quarterline.com.
Quarterline.com. We've been speaking with Pam Graff, President and CEO of Quarterline, here on Executive Leaders Radio with my co-host Will Burrington, Justin Lang, Cressa, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Steve Simon, Van Epperen, Andrew Lewis, Lewis Financial Group, John Hill, and George Mason University, Herb Thomas, White for Taylor and Preston, Kathleen Porabaugh, Holmes, Lowry, Horn, Johnson, and Jim Irving, Bean, Kinney, and Corman. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment right after this business spotlight.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-439-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So cancel the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-439-MYTV.
Right now to sign up for packages starting as low as $24.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $24.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-439-MYTV. That's 1-877-439-MYTV.
Cancel the cable. Cut costs and get more.
Call 877-439-MYTV. That's 1-877-439-MYTV.
Has your life changed? Are you now in a situation where you need health insurance? Here's some simple advice. Call our health insurance hotline right now. This free service will do all the work for you. Shop the health insurance marketplace and find the plan that best meets your health insurance needs. Don't get lost searching for plans on your own. Let a licensed agent help you for free. According to a report on CNN Money, almost half of those eligible for subsidies are paying less than $3 a day for bronze or silver plans. Remember, under Obamacare, most Americans qualify for health insurance. So get ready to let us do all the work for you and find out the best health insurance plan for your needs. Call this number now.
800-659-7975. 800-659-7975. For your free health insurance quote, call now. 800-659-7975. 800-659-7975.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, and we have great rates for smokers too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
BizTalkRadio.com.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Will Barrington. Justin Lang Cressid, Joe Applebaum Potomac Company, Steve Simon Van Epperen, Andrew Lewis Lewis Financial Group, John Hill and George Mason University, Herb Thomas, Whitefer Taylor and Preston, Kathleen Poorbaugh Holmes, Lowry Horn Johnson, and Jim Irving, Bean Kenny and Corman. Like to introduce you to John Milam, who's the CEO of an organization known as Dynamis. What is Dynamis? What are you guys doing?
We're a consulting firm for the government, principally, but also we do some international and some state local work.
And how large or how small is this organization, John?
We're 150 folks.
150 folks. And how'd you get a job with the company?
I started it.
You started it. How many years ago did you start it?
In 2008.
2008. It's 150 people now. And where would you grow up?
I grew up in Saudi Arabia.
You grew up in Saudi Arabia. And how many brothers and sisters do you have?
Two sisters and a brother.
Two sisters and a brother, and where are you in the pecking order?
I'm the last.
You're the last. How did that end up affecting you, growing up the last of four kids in Saudi Arabia?
The Saudi Arabia is an interesting angle on the kids. In Arabia, you have to leave after ninth grade, which is, in essence, 14 years old. So I grew up pretty much as an only child.
What impact did that have when you're starting this organization known as Dynamis, which is now 150 people?
I was unencumbered by people telling me what to do, and so since no one told me what to do, I decided what I was going to do myself.
Huh, so you figured stuff out the hard way, huh?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And I understand when you were 14 years old, you decided you were going to move somewhere. You want to tell our listening audience about that?
Well, I had to go away to school somewhere, and my mother decided that I would go to Rome.
Rome.
And so I left Saudi Arabia and went there.
So what was your native language?
English.
Uh-huh. And you knew Italian when you moved to Rome, didn't you?
I didn't know a word of it.
Okay, wait a second. So you moved to Rome and you didn't know Italian. How was that transition for you?
It was actually not all that difficult because most Italians could speak English. I was in international school, so the various languages were taught in those languages.
Uh-huh.
But it was actually not all that difficult.
So, weren't you frightened, and wasn't it a daunting, you know, thing? You're going to be sent away to Italy. Where are you going? What's that all about? When you were a kid?
Actually, no, because as a little kid, I traveled all over the world. I went around the world the first time before I was one.
So you're accustomed to traveling. How did all this traveling prepare you to build this business?
It opened my mind.
What are you talking about?
It's just a process of being able to take in all kinds of different information, not have biases or prejudice about where it came from, who said it, and be able to rack and stack it and use whatever is the best.
How did the travel affect your understanding and your dealings with people?
People are very, very different. I'm a cultural chameleon. I'm comfortable in Italy. I'm comfortable in Saudi Arabia. I'm comfortable in the United States, all very, very different places.
Mm-hmm. John, what does the name Dynamis mean?
Dynamis means strength and power, fortitude in Greek.
And is it having significance to what you're trying to accomplish in your business?
It does. Washington is not a happy place most of the time. It's the most concentrated area of hyperactive alpha humans on the planet. And if you want to be successful here, you have to be able to compete. And to compete successfully, you have to have strength to do that.
Mm-hmm. I understand you had a couple of challenges along the way. You want to tell us about one of the challenges and how it shaped you?
One of the challenges was I was accused of sexual harassment at one point as a mechanism to get me out of a company that I was a senior leader in as we were reorganizing it. Mm-hmm. It turns out after an extensive investigation, I was not a harasser, but I was absolutely a very autocratic manager. I was not a leader at all, and that turned me into a guy who was more sensitive.
So this building of this organization, Dynamis, how has that affected your building this company? Tell us more about that.
Well, I became more concerned about the personal well-being of individuals rather than my own. In fact, I was completely oblivious, unaware that I should be concerned about other people.
Kathy? How did you learn to mentor people and trust them after going through a relationship like that at your previous firm?
Well, I understood what it meant to be abused. And so I've tried to do everything. I've tried to avoid doing things that people did to me.
Mm-hmm. And how do you mentor the people under you and have them learn that?
You just treat them with respect, and you treat them with most people teach a topic. What they don't teach are people. So science teachers teach science, math teachers teach math. What they don't teach are people. And the same thing is true in my company. I try to understand who these people are and then work with whatever it is that they've got.
Do you create opportunities? Do you create conversations for them to have those kinds of connections?
Yeah, we have an area in our company we call the pit, which is an open environment with a bunch of easy chairs sitting in there, and people are always encouraged to come sit and join a conversation or start a conversation.
Justin?
John, how have the trust issues you mentioned before correlated in with your family life?
Oh, that's a great question. Trust is huge, particularly with your wife, more so than I think the kids. My wife and I just came back from a two-month sabbatical in Europe, in Italy. And the whole idea there was to rebond and rebuild the trust that we had when we were young and in love, now that we're old and in love.
Wow.
Some people might have become embittered when they were accused falsely of an offense. And you don't seem to have been affected that way. Why is that?
I have no idea. Maybe because I didn't believe it myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually, something very positive came out of it over time.
John?
Dynamis means strength. Mm-hmm. How's your definition of strength changed over time?
Mm.
Ooh,
good question.
I think strength really is it's a function of being willing to do the right thing if nobody's looking. It's being willing to play the game the right way and not worrying if you win or lose. That whole Vince Lombardi thing is, you know, winning's not the only thing; it's everything. I don't believe that.
John, this time in Saudi Arabia, you talked about traveling the world, but that's a pretty contained environment compared to the cultural chameleon you talked about. What was that like?
Living in Saudi Arabia? It was the Truman Show. It was completely artificial environment. There was no age. There was no sickness. There was no poverty. Everybody was fundamentally the same. It just happened to be plopped down the middle of Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm. Andrew?
Where did you're very intuitive. Where did that come from?
I think I was born with it.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, when we've talked about risk a few minutes ago. In our business, we have we call triple threat kinds of guys: business developers, technical people, and managers. Mm-hmm. BD guys are risk takers, managers are risk averse, and technical people are risk tolerant.
Mm-hmm.
I happen to be a BD guy, and so I'm much like Pam. I am a risk taker. It just doesn't bother me in the slightest.
Mm-hmm. John?
John, you're an individualist. You grew up individual. You talked about the time on your own taking risks. Do you hire people like you for your company now?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Are they harder to manage or easier to manage than people who just go with the flow? And do you care?
Well, we don't. I try not to manage. I try to lead, and those are two very different things.
What do you mean?
Managing is pretty much telling people what to do, and leading is inspiring them to do the right thing.
Huh. So tell me more about that. What do you mean?
I don't know. I mean, it's more of an intuitive kind of a thing. You know, Sparky Anderson once was asked how was he running his team when he had the worst Detroit Tigers, worst ERA, worst run differential, worst everything. And they said, how are you in first place, Sparky? And he said, I don't know, and if you tell me, I'll kill you. Sometimes these things can be overthought, and intuitive people need to find people who are rational and intellectually driven, and then whatever the problem is or the issue that you're working, you have to be wise enough to pick whatever is the right solution and not be too worried about where it came from.
What's the website address for Dynamis?
Dynamis.com.
Dynamis.com. We've been speaking with John Milam, CEO of Dynamis, here on Executive Leaders Radio with my co-hosts, Will Barrington, Justin Lang, Cressa, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Company, Steve Simon, Van Epperen, Andrew Lewis, Lewis Financial Group, John Hillen, George Mason University, Herb Thomas, Whitefort Taylor and Preston, Kathleen Porbaugh, Holmes Lowry, Horn Johnson, and Jim Irving, being Kenny Corman. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. That's executiveleadersradio.com. And we'll be back in a moment right after this business spotlight.
Here's George Foreman with InventHealth.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
How deep in debt are you? $10,000? $15,000? Maybe even more? And every day that goes by, you know what happens. Your debt gets larger and larger and larger. Well, if you've had it with your mushrooming debt problem and the stress it is causing you, make this free call today to the Debt Solutions Network. One quick no-obligation call is all it takes for one of our partner companies to show you how they can help you get out of debt. So if you have $10,000 or more in combined debt and you want to learn how you can solve it, make this free, no-obligation call now.
800-814-5035. 800-814-5035.
If you are in serious debt, you have to get out of it and fast. Call my friends at the Debt Solutions Network now.
800-814-5035. 800-814-5035. Call us 24/7. 800-814-5035.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
Are you worried about losing your home to foreclosure? If you've been threatened with foreclosure or receive legal papers from your bank, you have approximately 30 days to respond. If you do not respond, you could lose your home. You have rights. Act now to protect your rights. You can stay in your home. Many times you can even modify your loan. The bottom line is you can get past this, but you must act right now. If you've been served by your bank and you're worried about losing your home to foreclosure, now is the time to fight back and save your home. Time is limited, so call the professionals at National Foreclosure Defense right now.
800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. That number again is 800-708-7922.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, the first step is yours. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-463-1749. 800-463-1749. That's 800-463-1749. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DC-32.
BizTalkRadio.com.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. And we'd like to introduce Mike Sierra, president and owner of the Ventura Group. Mike, what is the Ventura Group? What are you guys doing?
Well, now we're doing information technology professional services for the federal government. Haven't always done that, but that's what we're doing now.
How large or how small is this organization?
Got about 150, 200 people or so.
150 people. How'd you get a job with this company?
I started the company myself.
You started the company. And how many years ago did you start the company?
Started the company in 1995.
You started in 1995. And where are you from originally?
Born and raised in San Antonio, Texas.
Born and raised in San Antonio, Texas. How many brothers and sisters?
We've got, there's five of us total. Two sisters older. Uh-huh. I'm the first son.
You're the first son.
And I've got two brothers younger.
What did your mom and dad do for a living?
My father was a laborer, worked for the federal government.
How about mom?
My mother was a housewife.
Uh-huh. So you're the oldest son, San Antonio, Texas. And I understand that you're first generation.
I'm first generation. My parents are immigrants from Mexico.
Uh-huh.
And they met in San Antonio.
How'd that affect you? How'd that affect you, you being first generation American?
Affect me in an awful way. It continues to affect me today. I'm very proud of the fact that I'm first generation American and that my family, my brothers and sisters have been successful. We've all got multiple degrees in college. So I feel very good about that aspect
uh-huh.
of it.
And you're the oldest son.
Yes.
How'd that affect you? You with two parents that immigrated from Mexico, you're the oldest son. What did that do to you?
Well, in a Hispanic family, the first son is always a dominant member. There's no question about that. So I wanted to continue to do things to make my parents proud for what they had sacrificed to ensure that we could succeed in America.
What do you mean make them proud?
Well, how do you make people proud? How do you make your parents proud? And by accomplishing, by doing, by succeeding in what you were trying to do.
How young were you when you started making money, when you started working?
I started working very, very early at our age. I was probably 9 or 10 years old. I did labors to help people pick groceries and cut grass and things like that. And I worked at a bowling alley setting pins as a pin boy. And I was a newspaper boy. And I would deliver newspapers. And
all these different jobs that you had as a kid, who your mom and dad arranged them for you?
No, I set it up myself.
You set it up yourself. What'd you do with the money?
I tried to share it with my family, mostly my parents. They were hardworking people and needed all they could, so I tried to share.
They told you.
No, I did it on my own.
What do you mean you did it on your own? What are you talking about?
I just felt it was necessary because they were struggling to make sure we had groceries.
You felt what was necessary?
I don't know. I thought it was just necessary that I be involved in making sure that we could succeed in the family so we could have a house and be able to have a quality of life. And it was very high. So I shared the income from the time I was young through the whole life my parents lived.
What did you do when you were 15?
15 years old. That's one of the significant points in my life. I was very, very proud of being American because of my parents. And I joined the Texas National Guard at 15 years old while I was still in high school. I was in the RTC program.
So you, but you weren't supposed to be a little bit older than that?
I was supposed to be a little bit older, but I was tall and I looked good and I sounded good. And they said, okay.
Why'd you do that?
Because I was really motivated. I really wanted to serve. And I was proud of the fact that I could do this. So I joined the Texas National Guard at 15. And I wound up spending 32 years in uniform.
So your mom and dad, you wanted to make, can you imagine, have they ever been to your office? Your mom and dad?
No.
How do you think they'd feel if they walked in your office door?
I think they'd be very proud, just like parents would.
Why would they be proud?
What we've been able to accomplish, what we've been able to do. We've done an awful lot, not only professionally, to provide the services that we need to in a very high level, but the fact that we provide a quality of life for our people.
What's good enough?
I don't know how you measure good enough. Good enough is how you feel about yourself and what you're doing. That's how you measure good enough.
So how do you think mom and dad would feel if they walked in the door? of your office, now 150 people.
I think they'd be very proud, no question about that.
And what would make them proud?
Just seeing what I've been able to accomplish. I hate to say it that way. Just seeing what I've been able to
accomplish. But you're not done yet.
I'm not done yet.
If you wanted to financially retire, could you?
Yes, I could financially retire.
So why don't you? Don't you know about the American dream?
Oh, yes. But I'll tell you, you didn't ask me, but I'm 75 years old, and I feel very good. I'm motivated. I enjoy going to work every day. I've got good people. I'm doing good projects.
John?
Why did you join the military at 15? Put the patriotism, love of your country aside. Was it the adventure aspect? Did you need to get out of Texas?
No.
Did you need job training?
Aspect. The adventure aspect associated, the community there was very loyal to the military, and they joined it in San Antonio, Texas. Okay.
Did you find the military a more fair environment? The environment, they didn't look at you as a first generation immigrant. They just looked at you as a private or a lieutenant.
Very much so. I came in out of high school. I left the Army with a master's degree in international economics, all of it made possible by the Army, that allowed me to succeed, not because I was a Mexican-American, but because I was good at what I was doing, and that made the difference.
And how does that affect the culture of your company that you're leading? How do you put that in?
It affects everything that I do right now. I'm motivated by what a person can accomplish. I have a diversity of a staff from diversity of cultures, and they're there because they can perform.
Jim?
What was your rank when you entered the Army?
I was a private when I first entered the Army.
And when you came out, what were you?
I was a full colonel.
Kathy?
So you're very patriotic to the country and very proud to be American. A lot of young people aren't like that anymore. How do you instill that in your employees?
Well, I think a lot of people are very patriotic. I think there's a real misconception about what's going on in our country. They are very patriotic, and I don't need to instill it because they have it and they sense it.
Justin?
Mike, you have an unbelievably impressive professional and military resume. What would you say is your greatest legacy?
My greatest legacy is to accomplish and produce and perform and across the board in every task that you're given. That's what I think.
Andrew?
Mike, you entered as a private in the Army and you left as a colonel. How does that impact how you lead your team today?
Well, yeah, leading is an art. It's an ability to be able to influence people and get them to encourage them to provide their respect, confidence in order to accomplish a particular mission. It's an art form, and I learned that in the Army.
Stephen?
Colonel, you're particularly proud
Steve,
of your
come
heritage.
Closer to that microphone. Mm-hmm.
What part of, how do you feel today about the way people are looking at immigrants in some ways? How does
that
make
you feel? Of course, one is dissatisfied by that. You see the accomplishments of all of our immigrants, not just the Hispanic community, but all our immigrants, and what they've been able to do and accomplish because the country allowed us to do that. I was allowed to do it. I was given the opportunity, and I performed. So I'm resentful of those people that are saying, hey, I shouldn't because I'm first-generation American.
Herb, what kind of question you got there?
Earlier you were saying, maybe before we were talking, you served in Vietnam.
Yes.
Were you a private back then? And
no,
did that?
By that time I was already commissioned. I was the second lieutenant. I spent 2 years in Vietnam. The first tour as a second lieutenant of an infantry platoon. And the second tour is a captain, company commander of a.
Has that influenced the way you lead people today and how?
Yes, it does. Yeah.
How so?
You have to motivate them to get to thinking about a private. You say, private, I want you to go over there and put your machine gun in place. And you have to do it in a way he's going to respond. And it's no different now. By telling a person, I want you to do this, I've got to motivate him to say, yes, I want to do that. Mm-hmm. So that all that applies.
Justin?
Mike, what was the impact and the separation from your friends and family like when you left for Vietnam?
It was it's a tough situation. It really is. I was married 2 weeks. We were given notice that we were going to go to Vietnam. I made a decision, my wife and I, to get married. We were married in 2 weeks, and I left to go to Vietnam. I came back from Vietnam after 1 year's tour, and we were sent to Germany. So it's quite an impact when that happens. Our son was born in Munich, Germany. My wife got pregnant, and I went back to Vietnam, second tour. Had to leave the family associated. Mm-hmm. Psychologically, it's very tough, mm-hmm. It's a lot to think about right now. But my wife was there with me at the airport as I got on the airplane to depart for the second
Michael,
tour.
Michael, are you married? You're married.
I am married.
How many kids do you have?
I have two children.
What's the similarity between being a dad and being the president and owner of the Ventura Group?
Well, it's a tough situation right now. My family works with me. My son was an executive for a major company that had a drawdown because of what's happening, and he's come to work with me as a vice president on a temporary basis, but he hopes to make a transition. My daughter is an office manager in the company, and I've got a good solid staff.
But when you were raising the kids, what was the similarity between being the president and owner of the Ventura Group and being a dad back then?
Well, when I was difficult to say because when I was raising the children, I was still in the Army, and I was a different situation. We were traveling. My children went to four high schools, for example, a different world altogether. I didn't start the company until they were.
I got a better question. Who wears the pants in the family? You or your wife?
My wife does, of course.
What do you mean?
I make important decisions like, what should we do about Iraq? And she makes important decisions like, where we're going to live and how much we're going to spend on groceries. Mm-hmm. But I take care of the important stuff.
Mm-hmm. How important is a sense of humor in business?
Oh, it's great. If you don't have a sense of humor, you're dying the world that we're living in right now. Mm-hmm. You got to maintain a sense of humor. Mm-hmm.
So what do you do in your spare time?
Well, I'm a very sorry golfer, but I enjoy doing that. I used to be a runner, and I destroyed my knees, so I walk every day. I work out every day.
Mm-hmm. What time do you get started in the morning at the age of 75, now that you don't have to work anymore? What time do you start working in the morning with emails or phone calls or stuff?
About 6:30.
And what time do you finish at night?
I have good days. I really do. I finish whenever I want to at this point. I go to work whenever I want to. I start at 6:30, but I'm not necessarily at work at that time.
Mm-hmm.
If I could comment, you didn't ask me the question. What allows me to do that, you have good people. I've got wonderful people. I've got a woman, executive vice president, that dominates the environment because she's technically very competent. I've got a chief operating officer that's also very, very competent, very, very good.
Sounds like you really appreciate your people. Do they know that?
I think they do. I'm
you
real
trust
proud
them?
Of the fact that
you trust them?
I trust them completely.
But I thought business was all lawsuits and stuff like that.
It's really not. It's a lot of awful confidence associated. I've given a bonus to every member of my company since I started the company in 1995.
What's the website address of the organization?
It's TheVenturaGroup.com.
TheVenturaGroup.com. We've been speaking with Mike Sierra, president and the owner of The Ventura Group, here on Executive Leaders Radio. We'll be back in a moment right after this business spotlight.
Starting a business can be tough, but getting the word out about your business through a great website can be even tougher. That's why you need SpotOnWebsite.com. At SpotOnWebsite.com, you can register your company's domain name and even build your website overnight. It's fast, easy, and most of all, it's sure to fit your budget. SpotOnWebsite.com has a wide range of internet products and solutions to make the most of your website, even on a small business budget. Log on today and see for yourself at SpotOnWebsite.com.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off. Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Today, more than ever, Americans need a means to protect their life savings. Birch Gold Group offers peace of mind for your nest egg through a rollover to an IRA backed by physical gold. Take advantage of the long-term stability that gold provides by investing in a gold IRA from Birch Gold Group, the precious metal IRA specialists. Call Birch Gold Group today at 888-999-1351 and receive their free information kit on gold. Call 888-999-1351, 888-999-1351.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago. If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-658-3876. That's 800-658-3876. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-658-3876.
BizTalkRadio.com.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Bill McCormick, CEO of the McCormick Group. Bill, what is the McCormick Group? What are you guys doing?
McCormick Group is an executive search firm.
Uh-huh. And how large or how small is this organization?
About 40 people, $5 million a year in revenues.
Uh-huh. How'd you get a job with it?
I started it.
You started it. And why did you start a business?
I started a business because I decided that I didn't want to work for anybody else anymore.
Mm-hmm. How'd that happen? What do you mean?
Well, I went to work for a government contractor, and I was offered the opportunity to help open up a division in Washington, D.C., and promised a certain amount of equity, and when I didn't get the equity after 4 years, I quit.
Uh-huh. How's that affecting how you run your business?
Well, all my employees get stock every year, so I've tried to make it fair so that it's an entrepreneurial opportunity for everybody.
So in spite of something bad happening to you, you try to make it good for everybody else, huh?
That's true.
Uh-huh. Where you're from originally?
Boulder City, Nevada.
Uh-huh. How many brothers and sisters?
I have two brothers.
And where are you in the pecking order?
I'm first.
Uh-huh. How'd that affect you?
I got a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm. And how young were you when you started making money?
I started making money probably when I was 8 or 9 in terms of working for my allowance and then starting my own little cutting grass and water business.
Mm-hmm. What did you do different than the other kids that cut grass and water and stuff like that? What was the difference between what you did and what they did?
Everybody else did it for their parents.
And you?
I did it for myself.
What do you mean?
I just had the opportunity to go around and mow lawns and water lawns and earn enough money to buy baseball cards.
Mm-hmm. And what did you learn back then that you're using nowadays in terms of building this organization, the McCormick Group?
I think the most important thing is to understand your customers and be able to think like they do.
What are you talking about? You were cutting lawns and water and stuff. What do you mean?
Well, you have to understand what the customer wants in terms of how the lawn's cut and how often it's cut and what it looks like when you're finished. And you have to be responsible enough to get there and water it in the middle of 120-degree heat in order to keep it alive when they come back from vacation.
So you really cared about what your customers wanted and you tried to meet their expectations?
Correct.
What's that have to do with starting the McCormick Group, with your motivation to start the McCormick Group, understanding customers and trying to meet their expectations?
Well, I used executive search firms when I was building the consulting firm, and I found out that most of them simply gave me resumes and left me alone, and I did all the work. So I learned how to be an executive search consultant by knowing exactly what they didn't do and deciding I could build a better one.
Mm-hmm. John?
Bill, what else did you do? What else did you do growing up other than working and going to school? Did you play any sports?
Yeah, I played a lot of sports.
Okay. And what one was your best one?
Probably football, although I was good at all of them.
And what position did you play?
I played quarterback.
Why quarterback? If you're such a great athlete, you could have played anywhere on the field.
I think I played quarterback because the coach understood that I could see the field. I understand what it meant to see the defenses and to figure out a way to beat them.
Okay, and so you're a decision maker on the field. You're the principal decision maker on a football team. You played up through college, yeah? You went to college.
I did.
Division I. Okay, and where'd you go to school?
Air Force Academy.
How'd that work out?
It worked out fine. I got a great education. I got an opportunity to see how the Air Force worked and make a decision whether I wanted to stay in there or not. I wasn't a pilot, so I decided to leave.
Do you run your firm like a quarterback runs the team?
Yeah, I think I try to. It's a little bit tougher in the business world than it is in sports. But, you know, the whole idea is everybody on a football team has a special job to do. If they do it well, the team wins. And if they don't do it well, the team loses.
Jim?
You mentioned that you give stock or distribute stock to your employees every year.
Correct.
Do you see a measurable result from that?
I think it's a mixed result. I think that some people it means nothing to because they don't see the company as being there long-term for them to enjoy the rewards of it. I think others see it as great because it costs them nothing.
Kathy Herb? Nope, go, Jim.
You do it for reasons of motivation or reasons of altruism or whatever. What's your motivation in doing that?
I think I did it because that's the way I wanted to be treated.
Mm-hmm. Kathy?
What was it like to go to the Air Force where you really can't be that independent and being so independent as a high school student?
Going to the Air Force Academy where I couldn't be independent was tough because I was used to doing whatever the hell I wanted to do. And then once I went into the Air Force, I was being told what to do when I went to the Academy. Once I was out in the world of the Air Force itself, it was more like being in the regular world.
Justin?
Did you play football all through school? Sorry.
I played football all through high school and in the first year of college.
Justin?
Bill, you mentioned offline that there was a substantial cheating scandal at the Air Force Academy when you were present there. How did that impact your trust with your fellow classmates?
I think the fact that I was one of the first people investigated in the honor scandal and the fact that I survived it gave me a lot of trust in the system.
Andrew?
I think the system was fair.
Andrew?
Yeah. Bill, you mentioned in high school your father was a principal. What happened there and what was the lesson from that and how do you apply it today?
My father was the principal of the high school that I went to, and he was my principal in middle school. He could see what was going to happen because I was rising up as an athlete by the time I got through middle school, so he transferred to Las Vegas while I was in high school. And he did that because he felt like he was going to have an influence over the coaches that I might be playing for. Mm-hmm. So he did it for the right reasons. I kind of figured out after that he didn't have to do that. I mean, it would have worked out. He just had to trust the coaches.
Mm-hmm. Herb, do you have a question there?
Was that a loss for you? Did you feel like you'd lost something in losing your dad during those years?
Well, I didn't lose him because he was close by, but I really missed having him as my principal.
Mm-hmm. Stephen?
How has this affected you raising kids? You've got kids of your own, so how has your dad's influence affected that?
I think I try to model myself after my parents, both of them, in a sense. My mother ran the grades. My dad ran the discipline. They had it fairly divided. I think I've tried to do that with my wives.
Mm-hmm. Will?
Executive recruiting is really competitive, obviously, in this market here. What makes you guys so different?
I think the difference is that we keep ourselves in the middle between the employer and the candidate. They're both our clients. Mm-hmm. You know, most of my employers pay me money. Obviously, they all pay me money. Mm-hmm. The deal about it is that a candidate, 99% of the time, has to give up the rest of his life by resigning to take their job.
Cool.
So we try to keep that. Excellent. To keep that balance.
Bill, what is the website address for the McCormick Group?
Excuse me?
The website address for the McCormick Group, your website address?
TheMcCormickGroup.com.
Excellent. We've been speaking with Bill McCormick, CEO of the McCormick Group, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Will, can you please give us a rundown on who we've had on the air today?
Sure, Herb. We've listened to Pamela Graf, President and CEO of Quarterline, John Milam, CEO of Dynamis, Mike Sierra, President and Owner of the Ventura Group, and Bill McCormick, CEO of the McCormick Group.
Excellent. I'd like to thank my co-hosts, Mr. Will Burrington, Justin Lyon-Cressa, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Company, Steve Simon, Van Apper, and Andrew Lewis, Lewis Financial Group, John Hillen, George Mason University, Herb Thomas, Whiteford, Taylor & Preston, Kathleen Porbaugh, Holmes, Lowry, Horn & Johnson, and Jim Irving, who is with Bean, Kenny, and Corman, for giving me hand structure and the questions. Hope you're providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. I'd like to thank our listening audience for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. Thank you and have a nice day. Bye-bye.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. BizTalkRadio.com.